The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie on this thunderous Tuesday. Hopefully my internet doesn't go down in all these crazy storms we're having right here at my house right now. I know you're about, what, maybe 30 miles away, and you said you don't have anything happening right now. But I'm looking out the window, and the lightning is just crazy, and it sounds like somebody is just, you know, pounding on my roof, and I'm down on the lowest level. So craziness. So yes.
Yeah, I have nothing. Well, maybe a little bit of thunder is starting to come in now.
Yeah. Thunderous. So our T word this week is thunderous Tuesday or Thunder Tuesday.
Yeah, that sounds good because it is thundering a little bit more for you than me. But
yeah.
It was earlier. It was pretty loud, but that's all right. We need the rain.
We do.
We didn't have a lot of snow lately because it's, you know, we lost winter early.
We did.
So I need to make up for it.
Oh, look at that crap. Sorry, I know everybody can't see me, but oh my God, it just kind of scares me. Can I just say, maybe I should go put something over the window so I don't have to see.
That'll help.
Anyway, yeah, no, because I can hear it. It sounds like the angels are bowling up in heaven. That's what it sounds
like. There you
like.
Go.
Sure, yeah.
So there's a lot of people in the chat room. I'm good. I'm just looking at all the people in the chat room. I'm just like, wow, oh my gosh.
Well,
that's cool.
It's our paranormal smorgasbord tonight. So
it is.
Woohoo. Thunder Buddy's song. I don't know that song, Jerry. Do you, Heidi?
What is it?
He says, let's all sing the Thunder Buddy's song. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Me either. Well, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, there
Jerry,
are.
You'll have to sing it for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Send us the clip.
It's from Ted. Oh, I guess I don't know.
I have not seen it. That's a movie, right? Yeah. I haven't.
Yeah.
I have not seen that. That's not my kind of humor.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't. I don't. Yeah. You know, me either.
You know, I think, Jerry, go ahead and sing a clip of it and send it to us. But it has to be you, not something you pulled off the internet.
That's right.
That's my deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So does Jerry still owe cookies? I don't know. He owed, you know, I was on the calling radio show last week to talk about our Humbird reveal, and he owed plenty of cookies last week for some things that he said. He was in a little bit of trouble, I think, you know.
He's in trouble.
They're a little bit looser on their show than we are with ours, Heidi. So
Jerry.
I guess whenever he's really loose with the mouth, you know, then Ceiling Cat finds him cookies.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so we had lots of cookies and goodies over Easter. That's for sure. Oh, my gosh.
We had cake. Lots of, well, cheesecake and a chocolate something, custard something. I don't know. Anyway, it was good. It was really good. Yeah.
I made my usual blueberry dessert, my mom's recipe, and it's really funny because we didn't take it out. So this was the first family gathering we've had in this year of COVID, right? And everybody's been vaccinated. Yep. So everybody was cool, and we all got together, and it was so fun, but I didn't bring it. It was in the refrigerator, and we were sitting around after dinner, you know, and then my niece Jessie says, "Steph, did you make blueberry dessert? You did, didn't you?" And I said, "Well, of course I made blueberry dessert." It's just like the gold standard, you know. It is really good. It's very rich, so I can't eat very much of it. But wow, people just love it in my family. So that was fun. But we had chocolate galore.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Yes, Jerry. So Casey, Jerry sent Casey this crazy cake in the mail. It was delivered by FedEx. And it was one of these things, I don't know if you've, I didn't even know they even existed, but she got this package. And so she whips it open and there's this box in there, and it's this beautiful box with a, you know, a cool lid. She pulls off the lid and all these, they look like butterflies, but they just flew out. It was quite terrifying, honestly. I don't know how many of them there were, but this box had like three layers. So it was like a babushka box, but it all fell apart, right? So all these little butterflies were within each of the walls, you know what I mean?
And like so, steel butterflies?
Yeah, they were like butterflies, yeah. And so you wind them up, and then they just...
Oh, not real ones. I think it's real.
No,
I'm
no.
Like, what? That's
yeah, no.
Cool.
So you wind them up, and then they come out, and they come out at you, and it was terrifying, absolutely terrifying. Oh my God, it was the craziest thing ever. And then there was this cute little cake in there, and a bunch of chocolates, and yeah, it was really cool. And I knew he was sending something, and he said to me, "Will you video it for me? Because I want to see Casey's reaction." And you know, Casey, no, she just the photo thing, the video thing, she just wasn't having it. I pulled out my phone and I was going to film her, and she took my phone and she said, "No, we're not doing it." So he didn't even get to see her. But it was the coolest thing ever. It was a very cool, I can't remember what the name of the company was that sends these things, but we saved some of these things, you know, so we can put them in something else and scare somebody else. Basically. But anyway, yeah, it was really cool. It was a very cool Easter treat. So that was neat. Send a cake, he's saying. Yeah, that was really fun. So yeah, so we, you know, we were just so busy this weekend because we leave tomorrow for the island again. So yeah, so we're getting everything ready because we bought everything new for the condo, and we shipped some stuff, ordered some stuff and we owe so many favors to people on the island, can I just say, because we've had so many shipments coming and our friends out there have just been going and shoving it in the condo. So yeah, it's going to be so fun. I can't wait to put it all together. You know what I mean? Cause we're bringing a couple of girlfriends with us from Kentucky. They're meeting us out there, and then we're going to decorate it all, and we're going to spend 5 glorious days on island. So I'm hoping we see those babies that, you know, and I'm taking them to the mausoleum. Hey, so I'm actually
going good
to the mausoleum this time. So we'll have to see. I said, we'll go around sunset, even though we're not supposed to be there after dark. We'll go there anyway, you know, so we can see. And then we'll just say, "Oh, we didn't know."
Better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
That's right. That's right. So
not that I'm encouraging that behavior at all.
Yeah. No,
at all.
No, I know. And I'll say, "You know better than this." And I'll say, "Maybe, you know."
Just be careful.
Yes, absolutely. And we won't stay much after dark. You know, if we go, maybe we'll just go in the afternoon so they can see it. And, you know, I'm going to ask around and see if we can at some point get permission to be there after dark. You know, because I think, you know, I mean, they've all told me about these ghosts flying after midnight up there. You know what I mean? So I just think it'd be fun to be there just to see after midnight sometime. I know there's a lot of stuff up there. There's a lot of paranormal. The family McMillan is all up there buried, you know, their ashes are in these chairs, and it's just kind of a weird place, you know? So, but anyway, yeah. So you were busy over the weekend too, not just with the holiday, but you worked and, you know.
Yep. I had a Reiki class on Saturday, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, that's an all day event, and it was half and half in person and half, you know, online, you know, because we still, you know, the cool thing about the changes that we've had to make, and I don't, it's not cool why we've had to make changes, but there have been some cool things that have come out of, you know, the changes that we had to, you know, adapt to, right? And I got a lot more tech savvy. I think a lot of businesses did because of COVID. And so I was able to get the whole system down on how to do people remote in my classes or different things. So it's been nice to incorporate people who couldn't get here, you know, because of time, space, distance, whatever, whatever reason, dimension, you know, they can't get to a class, but they can still take it if it's offered remotely. And so that was cool. So we were able to do that this weekend. But, you know, I have to say that doing something remote, you have to put, and I don't know if anybody else, when you're on a, like a Zoom call or something, if someone is leading the call, it can, I mean, a lot of Zoom calls, no offense, but they're really, they can be really a drag, right? And so it's, I want to make sure that I'm doing the best that I can to really engage people in the video, you know, aspect, because it's just different than being, you lose so much when you're not in person, right? You lose all the nuances and the, and the, just that energy of humanness, you know, that connectedness. And so I want to bring as much through the video and the audio as possible. And so I feel like it takes a lot more effort and energy and just electricity, you know, human electricity to go through, to get to someone and have it be engaging while they're remote. And so it is a lot of, it's a lot more work to do that, but it's worth it because it's, I would rather do that than have someone miss out completely because they can't get there. And so, so I'm glad to do it, but it's like, then I'm cooked, you know, for the rest of the day after the class, my whole evening, I'm pretty much in recovery because it's just, it's really, it takes everything else that you got.
So no in person. So it was all via Zoom.
No, it was half and half. In person
half. Okay. Sorry, I missed that. Yeah.
But you got to do the whole, you know, if, even if someone, one person's in virtual, you've got to do like all in so that it's engaging for that person as well. So anyway.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. You just, you have to work so much harder when it's like you said. I totally agree. It's hard.
Yeah. And so Sherry in the chat room said, you did a Zoom Reiki attunement. I did. And you know, it's interesting, before the COVID, you know, and everything with the shutdown, I was not a fan. I actually didn't do remote Reiki classes, and I prefer to do them in person. I still prefer to do them in person, but one of the things you learn in Reiki and other healing modalities is how to do distance work. And of course, that's become a very big thing with the shutdowns and COVID and all that stuff. So people are starting to explore that more, I think, than maybe they did before. If they had the means or opportunity to go somewhere and do it in person, I think a lot of people would rather do that. But this, you know, past year has shown people, you know, hey, we've got to try some other things. And so people have been trying remote. And so I decided to do the same thing. I'm like, well, let me try it remotely. And it works. I mean, it does work, and I knew it would work. And I, that wasn't the question. It's just, is the person receiving the class getting the full experience as well? And I've been told by remote students that yes, they are, and that's great. I still prefer to do it in person, and we'll continue to offer in person as well, but remote is an option that I think needs to be there going forward. If someone can get to an in-person class with someone that they trust and, you know, would like to be a, you know, have for their teacher, they, you know, should do that. But if they can't, then you do the next best thing and do it remote. But it does work. It's, you know, so it's helped me stretch as well, this whole thing, this whole lockdown and whatnot. So, but yeah, it's been cool, you know, being able to try different things, different techniques. And so.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's good when we can all learn new things too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It just, it's a learning. Life is a learning process, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, awesome. So, yeah, busy. So, paranormal smorgasbord.
It is the Paranormal Smorgasbord tonight. So anybody listening, well, in the chat room, because we can't hear you if you're not in the chat room, let us know any paranormal topics you have, and we can hash it out here, or any stories that you want to share. Go ahead and drop them into the chat room, and we can read it on the air, because we talk about all things not normal, paranormal.
Right. You're on not normal. X. I like that. But then I guess we should talk about what is normal. I mean, is anything really normal? Don't you wonder?
Well, everybody's version of normal, I would imagine, is slightly different. Slightly too very different.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what's normal for me maybe isn't normal for you. You know?
I totally agree. Your normal and my normal are not the same, because there's things you would do. Like swim in a lake with mermaids and want to get pulled under. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Yes. And I want to get, you know, a ride on a UFO. And you're like, nope.
No way.
We already have different ideas of what we would think is normal and like no big deal.
Absolutely. Karen is saying, do you think that storms or atmospheric disturbances like tonight activate the paranormal? Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I think it's energy. I think it's all the energy, you know?
They can
work with that.
Yeah, there is. I don't know why we have an echo all of a sudden. Do you hear that? I don't know. Anyway.
Volume down. Women in lakes holding swords.
the whole storm thing, though, going back to that. Sorry, I was getting distracted by the echo. definitely. I think the weather in general affects how paranormal something is or how active something is, because you remember when we went to Edinburgh Manor last year, I went to Edinburgh Manor in Iowa, and it was like 95 degrees and humidity was crazy high. And we weren't getting the visuals that we would normally get. We got a lot of audio, but we just didn't get the visuals. And we wondered if the humidity had something with making it hard for them to materialize or to, manifest.
We talked about that. Yeah.
So I think that weather plays a big factor in how active or not active spirit is, because how could it not? It's energy.
Yes.
And how could that not? So when you think of all this lightning and all of this static in the air, I would imagine it plays a huge role in how active a place could be. But then it's a catch-22, because you know how frustrating it is to be in an investigation when it's raining.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of cross-contamination then, and you can't hear in most of your audios. So your video cameras with audio, any audio recorders, any trail cams, anything that has audio, it goes pretty much out the window, because you have so much cross-contamination with the wind and the rain and, you know, the whatever is happening, thunder. So it's hard, because you know it's going to be more active. I mean, you pretty much know. I can't, it's not a guarantee, but you have all this possibility, right? And then so much of your evidence is going to be hard to sift through.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and like Karen is saying, you know, a lot of these stories start with, it was a dark and stormy night. Okay, yeah, where does that come from? Because they're spooky. I mean, sometimes storms are kind of spooky. So then maybe imaginations get worked up. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, just with the thunder and how scary that can feel just in itself. You know, there's that possibility of danger and storms. I mean, storm damage is a real thing.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you throw any kind of storm into the mix and already, you know, you kind of are on high alert, like, this could be bad just from the storm, and now you're going to throw something scary or paranormal into it, and it's like, oh boy, we're in for a treat tonight. So yeah, I think weather definitely plays a part in paranormal activity, for more of it, you know, to increase it or decrease it, like we were just talking about.
Yeah, I do too. And then Karen is wondering, with the climate change, will the paranormal increase? I don't know. Good questions.
I would assume it would shift, just like anything is going to shift. Mm-hmm. Everything will shift. With any kind of climate change, things will shift. It might increase, it might decrease. It depends on the type of shift. You know, we have warming, so does that mean it will shift, like we were talking about with the heat and humidity, where the visual is down. But if you have more storms and activity that way, does it go up? Because I don't know. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Hopefully it won't shift too much, because hopefully we don't even have to talk about that tonight, because that could be its own show of global warming. But I hope that we can do better than we have, so that we don't have to keep finding out.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a comment that Mike AZ made in the chat room. I don't want to miss it. Let's see here. When we were talking about doing remote Reiki and those attunements, I don't want to miss this. So we're going to go back to that for a second so it doesn't get too far back there. He said, have you ever gotten a wrong number trying to do a remote session, I'm guessing? He goes, I can imagine someone with strong energy hijacking the energy of the session. That's a really, really good question, because you would think, how do you get to direct where it goes? And there are certain things that you do to set up a remote channel. And so you're direct connecting to a person or a situation, depending on what is happening, what you're doing. You know, so if there's a mass shooting like we've had in recent weeks here, which has been horrible, and you want to send energy, you can, to the situation. You still have to be very specific about the receivers, getting permission. You can send it to the situation without sending it to specific people, mm-hmm. just whoever's willing to receive it. But you also have to set up your own protections in the beginning, just general protections to make sure that you stay safe. The energy goes for the, highest good of those who wish to receive it. And that's it. You know, so you have to be very specific when it comes to that stuff. Because, if you just fling the door open and start wheeling energy around, who knows what could come in, take it over, try and do something else with it. I mean, there's so many things that we probably couldn't even think of that could happen. Mm-hmm. So you have to be very specific with it. Because, anything's possible. Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. Mm-hmm. Mike AZ in the chat room. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and if anybody has never received like Reiki remote, some people say it can't be done. Oh yeah, it can. And when it happens, it's like, boom, it's like the craziest thing ever. I think you need to experience one remote Reiki session just to see what it's like, because mm-hmm. it really truly is amazing when that happens. Or if somebody is just sending you a little because, they know you're feeling down, all of a sudden you get blasted with this crazy energy and it feels so good, can I just say?
Yeah, I have clients all over the U.S. that I work with because, they can't get here. And they might have been referred to by someone that lives here, or they used to live here, or whatever. And, what are you going to do? Drive to Minnesota? No. Fly to Minnesota just for a Reiki session? No. Yeah. It's cool to be able to do this mm-hmm. kind of work remote. And it does work.
It Absolutely. Does. It does. Mm-hmm. It does. There's just... Karen is saying she thinks there's a lot of nefarious energy manipulation going on. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that for those who want to do such things. And Mike AZ again is saying he can imagine a novice could get into a lot of trouble with sloppy remote connections. And, just like anything else, magic or any of this, you kind of got to know what you're doing. You got to have teachers. You don't just mm-hmm. try it yourself,
Yeah, you have to be careful. Mm-hmm. And like I was talking about before with just opening up your energy, you have to be very careful because it isn't just, again, flinging the door open and assuming just because your intent to do something good is just, then that means nothing bad can happen. It's like, well, that's not entirely true. You have to be very careful because I've worked with people who are practitioners and have gotten themselves into trouble because they didn't, take it seriously that there's consequences sometimes to, like Mike said, being sloppy or mm-hmm. whatever, however you said it, and mm-hmm. it's not necessarily you're intentionally sloppy. It's just maybe you didn't know. Right. And that's why to your, point is to have a good teacher mm-hmm. to make sure that you are being safe.
Yes.
And for everybody involved, not just you, but also if you're channeling for someone, to make sure that you're being safe for them too. Because mm-hmm. that could be a dangerous thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Good questions and good comments, everyone. This is why we love the paranormal smorgasbord.
It is the paranormal smorgasbord.
Sherry's talking about moon phase in the paranormal. I always think that full moons, all that energy helps if you're on a paranormal investigation. Do you? I think that energy really helps the spirit world, to the spirits to come out more.
Yeah, I mean, I think I wouldn't say one versus another is better, though. You know, I don't think like a full moon is better than a new moon. It's just different. Because like, look at, for when we have gone yes. out doing Sasquatch search, we right. have better luck doing a new moon.
Yes.
Than a full moon.
They like the dark, right? You know, and it, mm-hmm. it totally makes sense, right? Because when we went out that night, it was a full moon and we could see like it was day. No wonder we didn't find any Bigfoot that night. They're all hiding. Or they're, you know what yeah. I mean? So that's yeah, why we always, yeah, we when we do overnights somewhere, do nighttime squatches, we usually go in a new moon when it's pitch mm-hmm. black. Yeah.
But paranormal investigations, I think, yeah, a full moon is kind of nice, especially if you're inside because the light isn't interfering. But you have that energy that, again, it's kind of like we were talking about the thunderstorms. Yeah. You know, you have that extra boost yep. of energy that might be, you know, or even if it's a waxing moon, you know, as it's increasing and kind of ramping up, you could have mm-hmm. more energy or stronger energy for some being to manifest. So,
yep. yep. Well, I think it affects all these astrological things, affects the spirits as much as it does the humans. You know, I kind of think it's both ways
mm-hmm.
personally, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cool, I don't know, it's a cool thing to think about, you know, just, well, it's a cool thing to test. I think anybody should, you know, if they're interested in that and want to know, and you're a paranormal investigator or whatever investigator you are, to test mm-hmm. your theory, to see mm-hmm. do new moons work better than full moons or different kind of waxing or waning moons. I mean, to do tests, do paranormal investigation. And really, if you're going to test it, you should go to the same place every time.
Yeah.
You know, and then try it different times of year, you know, because then, you know, the energy will be different as well. So it would be a cool test. Someone should do it. I'm not going to do that, but someone should do it. Maybe someone has. I haven't looked this up. But
well, you know, it'd be cool if you had someplace that was very active close by that you could actually do that, you know, and you had mm-hmm. access to all the time, and you could go at the, you know, maybe at the full moon and then at the new moon and then each quarter just to see if there's a difference.
Right.
I don't know. Interesting. Though I've always thought, I always like to schedule paranormal investigations if we can around the full moon, because I do think it makes a difference. Now, this last one that I did was crazy active. It was not a full moon, though. I kind of think it might have been a new moon, actually. But that place is just kind of active all the time. So, doesn't really matter. But I wonder what it's like there when there is a full moon. Okay, if it was that active on a new moon, what's it like there when it's, you know, a full moon?
Yeah. And that would be, like the thing. You go there again if you're there in a full moon or a new moon. Go back on a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty close together, too. You don't want to stay in the same season, I would think, to get as close as possible.
And I always think the summer season, it's harder to reach spirits than it is the rest of the year, because I think the summer shroud kind of dampens it all. You know, I mm-hmm. think they're still there. We just have a harder time hearing and feeling and seeing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Mike said in the chat room, he said, I would expect reflected moonlight is totally different than daylight, which must have a huge effect,
mm-hmm.
which it does. You know, sorry, we're getting some static again here. I wonder if that's the light. We have lightning and stuff happening now.
Yeah,
we've got, it's heading this way now. So the moonlight, different than daylight. Well, yeah, of course. And, you know, daylight, it's hard to, well, I don't know. It's not hard to, because we've done investigations in the daylight and had yep. great investigations and yep. had a lot of activity. It's just different.
Yeah.
It's just different. That's all. Maybe different entities or beings come out in the moon versus the day. You know, some come out in the day. Some mm-hmm. want to come out at night. maybe it's, you know, just they don't know the difference. Some spirits right. might not know the difference. They might not know what's day versus night or whatever. So, yeah, it's cool to think about and it's cool to test, but that would be, I don't want to do that.
<That's too much laughs> Well, like I said, if you had a very active place that was nearby and you had access to, I mean, you would document have
everything then. You document the time of year, you document the moon phase, you document if there's solar flares, you document all that, because all of that can make a difference in how your equipment works, what's manifesting, is it more visual versus more audio, you know, whatever. I mean, there's so many things that you could measure, but you'd have to do it all the time. Like every time you'd have to do it. And I don't like doing that kind of stuff. That's too much. No,
you know, we do that with squatchers. You know, we've been doing that for over a year, I think. We write down everything. But I think that would be pretty hard with a paranormal investigation, you know. And we kind of document a lot of that afterwards, like moon phase. You know, we write down the time, of course, and the weather and stuff. But, you know, the other stuff kind of comes later. But so we do document that with Bigfoot. But I've never done that with paranormal. So that's kind of cool. Mm-mm. It would be kind of a fun
thing. Yeah, and I don't do enough regular investigations now to document that kind of stuff. But I would want to do it, like you said, you got to go to the same place and do it at the same location, because you change locations and now you start changing other variables. And I just, then yeah, I would want to do it the same location anyway.
Yeah.
Enough of that. Yeah, anyway. We got to take a commercial break too.
We do. So when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about this investigation that I went on and play a crazy video audio clip. But stay tuned, everyone. We will be back in 2 minutes. This is The Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman Shunt, psychic medium, Dark NOLA Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Listening to Para X.
If you're looking for a truly unique podcast experience, we have you covered. Spirit Bayou with CJ Dunham airs live from the Third Coast in Southeast Texas on Tuesday and Fridays at midnight Eastern Time, covering Creole folklore and folk magic to strange paranormal activity to new equipment for the field. CJ Dunham is a Catholic swamp witch, a devotee to our Mother Mary in the Trinity, a true believer in our Lord, the Holy Ghost, and Christ. Peace be with your spirit and the spirits by you.
Welcome back to The Gathering on the Para X Radio Network. And we're having our paranormal smorgasbord tonight. And we've had all sorts of cool topics already for our first half hour. But now our second half hour, Steph, I think we should listen to your clip that you have.
Yeah. So last week on The Calling, we talked about this crazy paranormal investigation, which was my first one in a couple of years, by the way, because I've kind of left that. I mean, I left the group because I just love being in the woods so much more. But it was very fun to get back in the paranormal field, I got to say. And especially at this particular location. It's called the Hotel Bar and Grill, and it's in Humbert, Wisconsin. And the Sim Crew had done it a couple of years ago after I had left, and they had crazy activity then too. But since then, they've been totally re-renovating this whole inn, right? And they've been bringing in antiques like you can't imagine, and things from places all over, and doing stuff in the building. So they're tearing down walls, and, you know, two rooms are now one big suite, and, you know, just so much activity. And so the paranormal activity has totally ramped up, right? And so we went there and stayed the night and had some crazy activity happening. And we talked about it all on the calling last week. So that's why I can talk about it now, because it's already out there. And Jerry said, oh, you got to talk about it. So we did get several EVPs, but I thought, our paranormal smorgasbord is a crazy, crazy time. So I only want to play the best one. And this was, so this EVP happened in the middle of the night. We were all sleeping. I'm guessing it was maybe 2 or 3 a.m. And let me set it up for you. So we all slept in the same room. Nicole and I slept in one bed. Jerry was in the other bed. And all of a sudden, Jerry yells, "Oh my God, did you hear that?" It just woke me up out of a dead sleep, right? We'd only been sleeping for maybe an hour, you know? And I'm like, what? And Nicole didn't hear anything. And he said, "Oh my God, it was a scream." And we said, "What? Well, surely we would have heard this." No, it craziness, you know? And I'm like, oh, so, well, we couldn't wait to get back then and listen to the voice recorder. So I had a voice recorder in the room across the hall, and Jerry's voice recorder was down the hall in between. So there are two wings to this end. So there's the north and the south. And his was like right at the top of the stairs that go, it's a big stairway that goes down into the, that's where the bar and restaurant is. And there was also a video camcorder with, you know, infrared looking down the stairway, because there's lots of apparitions seen there. And then Nicole had her voice recorder down the other hallway in this other room. So Jerry's voice recorder caught this crazy scream, but none of the other ones did.
That's interesting.
And so when you hear it, when Sarge plays it, you'll hear like breathing. So you can hear like breathing first. So it's like you swear to God somebody's there, and you hear this and then this horrifying scream and then some more breathing. And okay, there was nobody else in the building besides us three, and we were all sleeping. You know? So, Sarge, can you roll that? Okay.
Get out of here.
No, serious. That is, it sounds like a Hollywood scream. No, that's what was on his voice recorder, and that's exactly what he heard. Isn't that crazy? Nobody else awake at night. I mean, there was nobody else awake.
It sounds like something that literally, what did Kat on the chat room said, it sounds like a Halloween sound effect scream. It's exactly like someone recorded it off the TV.
I know.
And then that was, yeah.
I know. And there's no explanation for it, right? There was nobody there. It was just us. We were sleeping, you know, and like I said, Jerry woke us up and said, "Oh my God, did you guys hear that scream?" And I'm like, "What scream?" And Nicole actually, so at the same time, so get this. So Jerry was looking at some spirits, and they were like spirit children that were, there was a lot of smallpox there back in the 1800s. And it was used as kind of an infirmary. This place was built like in the 1870s. And so there were kids there, they died. And there were a couple of kids that were kind of being mean to him, and Nicole was having this dream, and in her dream it was a pair of like teenage kids, and they wanted to scare it, and she said it kept going over and over and over again, and in this dream they were doing terrible things to this dog, you know. And she said when Jerry woke us up, she said, "I was gonna say we got to get out of here, because this is bad. These spirits are interfering with my, you know, they're in my dreams." And then the scream happens. I mean, is that just the craziest thing ever? I don't know, because Jerry was seeing them. Nicole was dreaming about them. I was sound asleep. I don't know.
Steph's
and then the scream happened. And then the scream happened. And And then Jerry, about an hour later, then we're all like, oh, okay, well, you know, let's go back to bed. Because Nicole and I didn't hear anything, right? We're like, oh, he's dreaming, whatever. And then an hour, 2 hours go by, and then Jerry says, I have to go to the bathroom. Can somebody come with me?
Oh, I'm scared
after that scream. So I don't know. Do we want to play it again, Sarge? Let's play it one more time, because I just think it's totally amazing. And what's interesting, so I asked Levi, wow. he owns the place, and he actually lives there. And I asked him, so we played all the evidence when we were there, and I said, are you surprised at that scream? And he said, no, I've actually heard it before. And shortly after we were there, his son heard that same scream. So I don't know. It's pretty amazing stuff. It does sound like
a
sound effect, but
it does.
But like,
that's just
there
weird.
Was no manipulation. That's what came off the voice recorder. And what's bizarre is that it came off that voice recorder, but my voice recorder didn't pick it up. And Nicole's
voice recorder. How far apart were they? How far apart were they? The voice recorders.
Well, probably about 40 feet, I would say. Maybe more. So
well, that should have picked it up.
It was like there, and that where Jerry's voice recorder was kind of like in the middle of, you know, where our room was and then the other rooms. So, I mean, it's a pretty big place, but yeah. So,
but they were in the same, like, no walls were separating the voice recorders, or were they?
Oh, yeah. No, the voice recorder was at the top of the stairs. And so we were all in different rooms.
But the voice recorders were in the same room, like, essentially.
They were all in different rooms. So mine was
okay. So there's walls separating them and stuff. So they might not have picked it up, I guess.
So they might not have picked it up. But the breathing, that's the other weird part, is it sounded like somebody was right there going.
So that's all one clip. Because it sounds like it's like someone's playing a tape of breathing and then playing a tape of scream and then playing the tape of breathing and, like, you know, running it all together.
Yeah.
Like they're editing it all together. It sounds completely fabricated. And I'm not saying it is.
Why not?
Jerry and everybody? No, I'm not saying it is. But that's what it sounds like. It sounds like it's clipped together. You know what I mean?
I know. But that's just what came out. I even asked him, I said, did you boost the audio on part of it? And he said, absolutely not. This is what came off of my voice.
And I know Jerry's saying in the chat room it's not edited. I know it's not. But that's what it sounds like. You know, it sounds like these clips you pull off the internet and then run them all together.
Yeah.
And I know you didn't do that. I'm just saying it's that's how weird it sounds.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
It's very strange. But the cool part is that they've heard it before. I mean, they've heard it themselves, you know, and they said, oh, yeah, we hear it every once in a while. So doesn't it make you wonder then, is it kind of more residual kind of then? Maybe there was a real spirit, you know, it's kind of a spirit there. And then the residual thing came. If they've all heard the same, because they really weren't surprised. You know, the owner was like, Levi was like, Steph, I've heard it before. I'm like, oh.
Wow.
You know?
That's cool.
Oh,
I mean, it's cool. And like in the chat room, Karen said, it's like someone snuck up and played the sound effect into the recorder. Like even a spirit did it, you know, like a spirit's messing around, you know, going like, ho ha, watch this. This will get them. And then actually created that fabricated sounding evidence, you know, even though it came from a spirit and it wasn't like someone standing there with a tape recorder, you know. So that's
or maybe
cool.
I mean, whoever was screaming was in a different part of the building. I don't know. And there was someone else standing right there. Who knows? You know,
I mean, it's cool. It's cool
I
to
know.
Hear it.
I know. No, Levi was not there with us. It was just they left the building to us. They all, you know, Chris, who's the manager, investigated with us for about an hour or two, and then she left. There was nobody else there, not in the whole building. We had it all to ourselves. So there were just three of us, and all the doors were locked. There was nobody else there. In fact, Levi was in a different town. I think he was in Green Bay, or he was there early on, and then he left. So, yeah.
So the recorder that recorded that was in, you said, the stairwell?
It was sitting on the ledge of a window. So when you come up the stairs to the inn where all the rooms are, there's like a big landing, and then there's a step up to the, I think it's called the north wing, and then there's a big window there, and there's like a big ledge on that window. And so that's where Jerry's recorder was. And then if you go, if you take a left and go down, then you go down a little ways, and then the hallway for the south end of the rooms, where all the other rooms are, where we were at the way at the end of the hall, is. So it was kind of like right in the middle of both of those wings.
Hmm. Yeah. It'd be interesting next time you go to stay closer to that area. Like if you could stay in a room that's closer to that location.
Well, and Levi's room is right there. So it totally makes sense that he has heard it, right? Because his room is right there, right? You step
then
up.
That makes, yeah, then that's where I would want to sleep. It's closer to, if he hears that and he has heard it before and heard it again after you guys heard it, then I would want to stay as close to that as possible to see what else might be there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instead of staying at the far end, now that you know where it is, or Jerry, when you guys go back there, whenever that is, I would assume that's what you're going to do, because that is like mystifying. Like, mm-hmm. What is? I got to hear that again, and I want to hear it for real, like as it's happening. Hook me up, spirit. Let's do it.
Right. Right. There was no devices, speakers. We looked over that whole place when we got there. There was nothing anywhere that they could have come from. Absolutely not. And the fact that they've heard it, you know, like I said, he wasn't surprised. I interviewed him because we did a live, when we did the reveal a couple, what, last week or the week before, we did a Facebook Live, and I interviewed Levi, and he just said, you know, this is all just verification for me. You know, it's really, I'm really happy that you caught this stuff, because I've experienced it, you know? So, yeah, was there any Irish there? It does kind of sound like a banshee, doesn't it? I know. I kind of thought that, too. But anyway, so that was the craziest thing. But we did get a lot of EVPs, and we got some, we had some really cool video footage of the SLX camera, and we caught some, an apparition that was standing behind me in the mirror. And, yeah, it was, we saw some things. Yeah, we saw some things, crazy things. So, crazy active location.
So, Ceiling Cat is saying that she said it sounds like a donkey laughing, which she posted a link in the chat room, and I'm tempted to click on it, but then I would be afraid that you guys would hear it also through my microphone. I don't want to like screw something up, because I'm really wanting to click the link. I really want to, because I want to see how close it is. Because what if it's not a woman screaming? What if it's a donkey and it's... I'm not saying, you know, what if it's spirit messing around, you know, too?
Right.
Like, watch this. This will get them.
Well, and then.
Kind of like, so, you know, when you hear a mountain lion screaming and it sounds like, you know, a woman being murdered or something.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so what if it is some kind of random animal noise?
But it sounded like it was inside. You know, it didn't sound like it was outside. But.
Oh, for sure. No, I know. I'm still saying, what if it was a spirit manipulation thing?
For sure. And then, you know, Jerry's reminding me that the week after we were there, the week before we came back to do the reveal, there was a couple of guests that checked into the room that I was supposed to stay in that I didn't want to, where I left my voice recorder. They both checked out. One of them was a guy that was just, he needed a place to stay, a hot meal and a bed, and rented this room. Got up at 1 o'clock in the morning, took all of his stuff, knocked on Levi's door and said, "You are freaking crazy for staying here. I am not staying here ever again. I'm leaving." And the guy slept in his car that night. And he said he saw creepy crawly things coming down the walls of this pink room, you know, and someone else did too. So he wasn't the only one. So in between the time we were there and the time we came back for the reveal, the activity had ramped up even more, because they had these paying customers who would not stay there. You know, they stayed there till one or two, until it got too crazy and too dicey, and then they left. And like I said, one of them rapped on Levi's door and said, "You're nuts. You're absolutely nuts." And neither of them knew that it was, had a lot of spiritual activity or was haunted. You know, none of them knew. I mean, that was news to them. So it wasn't like they were there looking for it. It was like they were there and they had these experiences, and they're like, "Oh my God, we're not staying here for one more minute." So, cool. Yeah, it is, It is a crazy active place. And like I said, when we were there, what was interesting is one of the things that I saw when we were in the bar doing some investigating with Chris, who's the bar manager, and I was looking, I could see this apparition coming, going by. There was some hooks on the wall by the front door. And when you look at the video, you can see me because we had the cameras kind of on us, and or they were supposed to be shooting behind us, but you could see us too. We were kind of sitting at a table. And of course it was dark, so these were infrared, but you could definitely see me as I'm watching this thing go by, and I'm like, oh, well, there's, you know, a little something, something. And then it came right by, came up to us, and our K2 meters just went bonkers, you know? And mm-hmm. when I was there for the reveal, I was out with the girls, a bunch of girls. We were all out in the kind of the porch area, and they were all telling me that, oh gosh, yeah, when we're standing at the jukebox there, we feel something kind of touching us and, you know, pulling our hair. And I said, and the jukebox is by the front door by those hooks on the wall. And they said, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, there you go. That's what I saw, you know. So, you know, it's really cool. It's very interesting then when people start telling you what they've seen and their experiences and, you know, what we found. So, yeah, very cool. Very cool. And so...
So there was a message in the chat room. Karen had said something about the breathing being kind of creepy. And then she's like, well, wait, do spirits breathe? And I think that's a good question because technically they don't. So what are they doing, right, with that? And I think it was Ceiling Cat said something about residual spirits, right. You know, breathe, but really mm-hmm. they're not breathing. But it's that recorded energy that's just part of their manifestation. Yeah. And I know interactive spirits would do something because breathing, depending on what you're hearing, can be very creepy, you know, because, and if that's what they're trying to do is scare you, or if they haven't disconnected from their human form enough and they just think that that's part of what they still should be doing, you know, so they could be breathing, mm-hmm. you know, even though they don't have the body to do it, mm-hmm. but breathing, if you're by yourself and you hear breathing in your ear, like, well, that's one of the creepiest things mm-hmm. anybody could hear. You don't have to say anything. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is breathe in someone's ear, stand right behind them and just breathe on them. You freak the pants off of someone.
Yeah.
And so I think there's enough, you know, spirits know that. And so they would take advantage of that opportunity to manifest that mm-hmm. audio, you know, mm-hmm. so to speak. So to, you know, creep you out. Because that's scary. I've had it happen where, you know, they're right there in your ear and they breathe or they say your name really in that breathy. And you can almost feel it, that warm mm-hmm. hit in your ear. And it's like, oh, all right. Because then they're right there. And you feel so vulnerable because you can't do anything. They're already on you. They're already there. And so if they want to scare you, it's an awesome way to do it.
Well,
all they need is a couple of breaths in your ear and you're off.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing is when we were investigating one of the rooms and we had the SLS camera with us and, oh my gosh, it was crazy. The number of, you know, there was like two of them and one of them was coming at us and we saw this and Chris was there and all of a sudden she says, oh, I feel really sick, like nauseous. And I said, oh, you're getting slimed. And she's like, oh, this is terrible. And I'm like, cause you could see it. It was coming at us, you know? And, you know, then I told her, I said, Chris, you know, you need to use some protections, honey, you know? And I said, you know, you got to put that. And she said, oh, I know I didn't do that. And I said, it's okay. But I think if, you know, cause when you work here and you're here all the time, kind of got to put this protection around you all the time, you know? And I kind of, mm-hmm. you know, explained to her out and she said, I know, you know? And she said, thank you, Steffi. And I said, yeah. And then it, you know, it left and then she was fine. So interesting stuff, I gotta say, you know, but that was a wild and woolly investigation for my first one back on the team mm-hmm. for a long time.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, so one. And I know that they're planning an event, I think, in the fall in October, and they're gonna do some I don't really know. It hasn't all been planned yet, but they're going to do some kind of public investigations and, you know, you can stay there and Sim is going to do it all, of course, you know, and so mm-hmm. it'll be fun. It'll be a fun weekend. Cool. I don't know what it's going to look like quite yet, but I think it's, you know, I mean, the whole town was there for the reveal. There was like the bar was filled, you know, so it was very fun. So anyway, and lots of cryptid activity down there too. They were all telling me about that. So I said, oh, well, Squatchers will have to come down here now and look for that. So anyway, lots of craziness right there in the middle of Wisconsin.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Willow is coming up for that. She's going to come up and do some stuff, some psychic and readings. And yeah, it's going to be really fun. It's going to be a wild thing. So that's in October. I think it's the weekend of October 8th, Jerry. I don't have it. I don't have my calendar down here, but it's the 8th and the 9th or something, I believe, of October. So it'll be fun. It'll be a rolling crazy night, a couple nights.
Sounds like it. Someone needs to sleep next to that stairwell, though. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not going to, but you know.
I would.
Somebody will, because they'll rent out all those rooms, you know. I think they're going to have us downstairs. They have like an apartment downstairs. So, but they had activity there too. So anyway, yeah, it'll be fun. Hmm. So, oh my goodness, do you know what? It's already 8:55. I mean, or I should say 55 minutes past the hour, depending on where you are. It could be, you know, 6:55. So
yes.
Hour goes by so fast.
I know it does. I have an interesting story too, but I don't know if I have enough time to tell it. I might have to save it for next week. Plus, I'm still working on it, but I was contacted by a client who I've worked with before. A handful of us went out there and did a home clearing. This was years ago, and it sounds like energy is ramping up again, and he contacted me. And you know, what's interesting is when people reach out, because I come through in their dreams or in some kind of vision, and then they know that it's time to contact me again. And so I think that's kind of funny, because he said, yeah, you were in a dream of mine the other night. And so I figured I better get a hold of you. And I said, yeah, that's probably a good sign, you know, that if I showed up then, I was probably already trying to help you, because I know I'm a dream walker. And so I can go and do a bunch of work at night when I'm sleeping, which is cool, and help people out. But so it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening with this if we have to go back. I think we'll have to go back just based on what he said in his email, but I've got to talk to him and get some more information. So hopefully maybe I can talk to him tomorrow. But it's, yeah, it's cool. Hopefully I'll have some more details for next week or whenever we get to, you know, do some follow-up on this. But, you know, it's, and you've done these too, where you do, you go out and do an investigation or a clearing or whatever, and everything settles down, you get it taken care of for a while, and then things, you know, ramp back up over time. A lot of times what happens, because some of what we recommended that they do at this house, they weren't willing to do because it involved family, and that makes it tricky. And so then I said, well, it's probably going to come back then. This isn't going to be resolved unless you can get this one piece of it, you know, figured out. And it was, it would have caused some family conflict. So they said, no, we're not going to do that. And I said, okay. And here we go. A couple of years later, it's, and I know it's been going on for a while. I think they've been bearing with it, you know, dealing with it. And so it'll be interesting to see how bad it's been and for how long, because I know that they were not wanting to do all of the recommendations, and that's okay. That's the way it goes.
Well, yeah.
I get it. It's family, right? It's hard.
Well, it is. And, you know, like even at this bar, you know, hotel bar, it's like, you know, poor Chris is scared to go up in the inn, you know, because she said, oh my gosh, she sees so much. I said, Chris, you know what you need? Remember what I told you about the whole protections and the energy? And yeah. And I said, every time you go up there, you just need to do this. But she sees things in the bar. Well, we saw stuff in the bar too. You know what I mean? So it's not just limited to those rooms upstairs. It's the whole place is just really paranormally active. So, but anyway, so that's what we just need to do. We need to teach them how to protect themselves, you know, unless they want it cleared. They don't want to do that either, you know? So,
there's a point where you have to think of, you know, are there spirits that want to go? You got to help them. Right. You know, and there's probably other spirits that don't want to go and others that'll come in if it's being investigated that often. But you want to make sure that if there are any that want to get out of there, you get them out of there, because that's not cool either to, you know, and their suffering is our entertainment. That's not right.
Oh, you know? No, absolutely. And I think that there's a lot of, like I said, these ishy, I call them ishy supernatural creatures that were never human. You know, the creepy crawly kind that crawled on the walls. So I don't know what that's all about in that pink room, but yeah, I know we need to look at that too. So, yeah, crazy, nuts. But yeah, so Willow's going to be there next time too. So she will do that too as well. But and then all these new things they keep bringing in, all these artifacts and all these, you know, and they need to smudge them before they bring them into the building. I'm just saying, you know. But anyway, it is what it is. So you had a show on Bemidji? No, you didn't have a show on Bemidji.
No, I don't know. So in the chat room, those that are listening, Jerry is asking, and there's a side thing going on, and I think it got twisted around. And no, Sherry asked if I would do a show on shamanism, and I said, yeah, sure, I would do that. So that, I don't know how, if that got twisted around. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, I can do that sometime.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, anyway, we got to go. So thanks for listening, everyone, and participating. And hey, if the troops are listening, be safe, be well. Thank you for your service. Yep.
Absolutely. Everybody in the chat room, once again, awesome. Chat room has been on fire with all your awesome comments and topic ideas for the Paranormal Smorgasbord. So thank you. And thank you to everybody else out there listening, wherever you are. Be safe, healthy, and we love having you here. ParaX, thank you so much for hosting us. And our most amazing producer, Sarge, thank you once again for making this thing happen.
Thanks, everyone. Make it a good week. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody. Good night.